He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
My name is James and I am from New Zealand, but I'm ethnically Filipino. Yeah, that's usually the reaction that gets. That's a room full of people going, oh, I thought it was Thailand.
That's Aucklander James Roque, who makes a living telling jokes. Today, we're chatting to him about something not so funny.
Since the COVID outbreak, there's been a huge spike in racist jokes and memes targeting the Asian New Zealand community. And I know what some of you are already saying. You're thinking, hey, James, you should know. It's just a joke, right? It's just a joke. You should know. You're a professional comedian.
My name is Kadambri Gladding, and this is Voices.
Look, you're right. I am a professional comedian. Please tell my immigrant parents that. They'd refuse to believe me.
James is the face of the new campaign by Human Rights Commission to tackle COVID-related racism.
When I started 10 years ago, even I made those same racist jokes about myself on stage. And it wasn't until I saw an audience member repeating a joke I'd said to an Asian friend of theirs and seeing how it made them feel that I realised that I was actually causing harm. Look, if my big stubborn head can change, you can too. Racism, it's no joke.
And that is the name of the campaign. Racism is no joke. The campaign targets memes, jokes, comments and online racism that causes hostility towards Asians.
So when I first started doing comedy, this was 10 years ago now. Oh man, I'm old. But this was 10 years ago. The types of jokes that I would make about my ethnicity were very self-deprecating. They were funny and they were good jokes. They were like well-written jokes, but at the expense of my own identity as an Asian New Zealander. They would get laughs, but I think eventually over time I realized that I didn't need to do that in order to get the laughs. The target audience for the campaign are people in everyday New Zealand who think that they're, you know, that they're good people, that they're actually genuinely in their heart, like they don't harbor any hate or discrimination towards any type of person, but they might not realize that some of their actions or jokes can contribute towards the system that is oppressing a group of people.
Meng Foon, New Zealand's Race Relations Commissioner, has been actively pushing this as well as other Human Rights Commission's campaigns like Voices of Racism.
There's not only our campaign too, Karambari. There's actually many other organisations doing similar things. So it's great that a lot of people are actually taking this on board and doing their best to actually change society's way. And so ours is just one way, and there are many other ways. And when people put their feet or in other people's shoes, in the victim's shoes, they will think, wow, that could be me. And hopefully they will curb behaviour and also to be anti-racist as well. So hopefully we can actually change behaviour through this campaign. And the other has been a drop in terms of COVID responses, complaints. But definitely, we must keep our pedal on the floor in terms of trying to expose, educate and eliminate racism.
When I started working on this campaign with the Human Rights Commission about, you know, to tackle the COVID-related racism, I put a call out on all my social media channels to be like, hey, if you have experience in regards to COVID-related racism, please get in touch. Send me a private message, you know, send me an email. And so I put that call out in the morning because I was actually on set filming for a show that I'm working on. And I didn't have a time to check my phone all day. And when I got home, I just had like this pileup of like stories that I had to go through. It was terrible reading before going to bed. But
what was writing the script for these campaign videos like?
I don't want to misrepresent the Asian community and I don't want to say anything that people wouldn't agree with. We're not a monolith, you know, people have different opinions within that community. What points do they want to make that maybe they might be scared to make because they don't want to ruffle any feathers or they just want to keep their head down at, you know, the younger generation of Asian New Zealanders who are raised in New Zealand what kind of have like a different outlook on that. Like we kind of go, no, we should stand up and say because this isn't good enough. Like we deserve to be here just like everyone else. This is our home as well. For me personally, I've gone on my own little personal journey about this stuff. I can still talk about my identity and my ethnicity and my cultural background in a way that empowers shift. And it was around maybe five, 6 years ago where I went, oh no, I can use this to make points that would be tough to swallow in real life for some people. Don't get me wrong, I can, you know, I'll still occasionally, if I'm doing a show and, you know, a Filipino couple comes in late, I'm like, oh, like, like, oh, you can't,
can't check that out.
We sort of like took maybe 4 or 5 years until we finally got to like climatize to New Zealand. And even then, we were only 50-50 split. You know, like 50% of the time, we'd be Filipino. 50% of the time, Kiwi. You know, like 50% of the time, we'd be Filipino as f***. Like when I told my mom I was going to be a comedian, she's like, why not nurse? Like, you know?
Me and my friends, I'm in a sketch group with a couple other comedians, Pax Sasadi and Jermaine Ross. We have an ethos. We like to call it Trojan horsing the message into the crowd, which is, yeah, sneak the message in through a Trojan horse without them knowing, make them laugh, sneak that in, and then later when they're driving home, they're like, oh, I've not thought about that before. Like, I've said that before. I thought that was all right. Maybe not. You know, like, that kind of idea. It is challenging because there's so much nuance to this conversation. So sometimes when you call someone out for doing something that's, you know, that's hurtful or racist to someone, the defensiveness comes from the fact that they genuinely think they're good people. The comedy helps with that defensiveness.
But then the other 50% of the time would be Kiwi as f***. It would be super Kiwi. Like, my family loved the All Blacks. Like, we did. Like, my dad got really into the All Blacks, you know? Like, a little too into the All Blacks, you know? As if immigration was watching, you know? Like, he'd watch the game and he'd be like, oh, ref, what was that? Open your eyes and see the wonderful country that we have, Kiora, New Zealand.
What was growing up here like for you?
I think it's weird because I would classify New Zealand as, on the surface, very accepting, but systemically not very. Does that make sense? So, like, yes, you get here, people are friendly, people are accepting, you know, but there are still things within the system that made me feel like another, you know? For example, things like not seeing yourself on television, like not seeing any characters that look like you, so I had to gravitate to the next best thing, which was hip-hop American culture and Pacific Island and Maori culture in New Zealand. So lack of representation on screen. I think it's changing now, but it's still got a long way to go in terms of that systemic stuff that I'm talking about. And I think as well, for growing up, it was really hard, and a lot of migrant kids do this, but there was a lot of erasure of my own identity growing up. So, you know, for a long time, I underestimated my migrant parents because I was like, well, they're never going to get it. Like, they didn't grow up here. I'm a Western kid. Nah, they're not going to understand, you know? And that's the kind of mentality I had. It wasn't until my 20s where you kind of shake that off and you go, no, that's, you know, you've forgotten your roots. So I think that's really the crux of why my first jokes were self-deprecating, because you want to fit in. And so what you do is you erase who you are and you try to take as much of what they are in to go, oh, don't worry, I think these things like you guys do. And then that's, yeah, part of my growth in my sort of 20s is like realizing that your background and your ethnicity and your culture are things to be proud about and things to uplift and to own. And so that has kind of seeped into my comedy and my art that I make now.
You're brown, I'm brown, and maybe you can help a sister out a little, you know, with these constant questions. So how do you speak English so well?
Yeah.
What's your response?
I literally have stand-up about that. I still get that occasionally, and it kind of depends what town I'm in. So if someone goes, you speak English so well, I just go, why, what were you expecting? Like, and seriously, like, I just ask it. And like, I've had a reaction where someone said, oh, yeah, I guess I don't know. I don't know why. And then that kind of,
hey, that's a result.
Yeah, you've made them realize something that maybe they hadn't thought about. And I can only really speak from my experience. You know, my version and experience of racism would be a lot different to some like a Maori or a Pacific Island person's experience of racism, or a South Asian person's different experience of racism. But I think for me, I think I'm optimistic at times that attitudes are changing, but I do think that it needs to be a sustained effort. Like, it needs to be something that we always keep in check that will eventually turn that tide, and destroying the narrative that, because I think there is one, that like that New Zealand is like this perfect utopia where there's no racism just because it's not as bad as overseas or not as bad as the States or whatever. I think that narrative is, it's naive. And from the campaign, like, I have a rule to not read the comments because people just say the wildest stuff on there without any consequence, because that's how the internet works. But I took a little peek, and there was already people in the comments being like, you're exaggerating. There's no racism here. What are you talking about? And I'm like, you're not listening. You're not listening to the community who are saying, hey, we've been hurt by this.
I'd say like 90% of the time I feel loved and accepted by New Zealanders, but then there's like a handful of times where someone will just say something that just reminds me that I'm still an immigrant, you know? And one of those times is whenever I'm on Facebook and I read an article about immigration, right? And for some reason, a voice in my head's like, read the comments, read the comments, read the comments. Like an idiot. And I read the comments and there's always a guy in the comments who's like, ah, Tony, immigrants, buddy, coming over here and stealing our cereal.
You were able to catch people off guard by laughter. Laughter's like such a good weapon for this sort of conversation. Because it's tense, you know? Like, when no one likes to be told off. Like, no one likes to, when they've done something bad for you, to go, that's actually hurtful. Like, dealing with stuff like this through comedy is the best way because you're able to disarm people.
Racism. It's no joke.
Thanks for listening. My name's Kadambri and this is Voices. Catch more Voices and other great RNZ podcasts on all your favourite podcast platforms. Christo Karajov is the audio engineer for this episode and Tim Watkin is the executive producer for podcasts.